Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening. Today, my guest is a Jewish rabbi, a Messianic Jewish rabbi, who's going to tell us about the significance of Sukkot and the eighth day. So you're going to want to stay tuned after this message because he ties it in to the birth of Christ and his circumcision. How can this be?
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I want to speak to you on behalf of Evangel Christian Churches. And if you've ever had a desire to be trained, equipped, and credentialed as a chaplain, you may really want to listen to this message. It's probably now would be a great time to fulfill the call of God on your life. We're still early in the year. You can accomplish so much still in this year of 2016. Becoming a licensed minister will enable you to reach out to jail ministries, hospitals, nursing homes. Maybe you want to do street evangelism or teaching, traveling, going to across the world to minister. Women's Aglow would be good. Maybe even at anti-abortion facilities, counseling, traveling, whatever it is that you've got in your heart. There's no better place to be trained and equipped than Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. Let me say that again, the Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. They're going to offer you the opportunity to be trained and credentialed as a chaplain. It's always good to have official credentials. They have correspondence classes and extremely affordable tuition. They're licensed throughout the state of Michigan and fully accredited. You can call them now. They actually prefer you to call them. Their number is 586-773-6568. And one more time, 586-773-6568. The good thing about a podcast is you can back this up, listen to the phone number again. Their website is evangelchristianchurches.com. Check them out there or just call that number. One more time, 586-773-6568 for the Chaplaincy Training Program. Get credentialed today. God bless you.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Rabbi. We have been friends for a long time. You have a Messianic synagogue here in my city of Orlando, and it's just a pleasure to have you on my podcast today.
Well, it is certainly a blessing. I'm happy to be on, and I'm happy to be able to tell you a little bit about Sukkot and the eighth day, which is called Shemini Atzeret, and that begins on Sunday night. It's for one day. A holy convocation on the eighth day. There are 7 days of Sukkot, and then there is one more day. And you might say, why is there one more day? There's one more day because God loves us so much. In the month of Elul, before all the holidays started, the last month of the civil year, in that month, we say it's like God is in the field, and he's calling us to spend time with him, to be with him, to have intimacy with him, to come into our prayer closet, which in my case is under the tallit. And we come in and we fellowship with him, and it's so wonderful. Then we have all the holidays, and Sukkot is the last feast of the fall feast, 7 days. And then we see in the book of Leviticus that there is one more day. And God says it's a solemn assembly. You should do no laborious work. And that is what's called the eighth day, Shemini, which means the eighth or eighth day, and Atzeret, which means assembly. It's because the love of God is so great for us. He loves us so much that he is asking us to spend one more day with him.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Sukkot. You know, in English, we would call that Feast of Tabernacles. And in fact, in the last two or three decades, there's been a huge gathering of believers in Yeshua who come to Jerusalem every year for the Feast of Tabernacles. I've had the privilege of attending it twice. And for someone who's never attended that kind of thing, it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I had to even practice, Rabbi, to where I could get Sukkot right, let alone Shemini Atzeret. So you say it right. I'm sorry. I apologize for my Hebrew. But this Feast of Tabernacles, which is a little bit like Thanksgiving, isn't it? It's at the end of the harvest season and a time of celebration, like you say. It's a very happy time. And I was interested when I was over in Israel that a lot of the believers in Yeshua believe that Jesus was probably born at this time of year instead of in December, which is when we celebrate Christmas, of course. Everyone knows that. But without, you know, getting into a long discussion about that, that was really more tied into the Romans and a pagan festival at the beginning of winter that the Christians kind of co-opted and had a special mass, which they call Christ Mass. But tell me, do you believe that Yeshua was born in the period of Sukkot? And if so, why?
Well, I do believe that he was born then. There are many different reasons which I speak about, where there's a whole, I could give a whole hour seminar on that. But just a simple scripture in Genesis 33, verse 17, which says, "But Jacob journeyed to Sukkot and built a house for himself, and for his livestock he made booths." That is the reason that the place is called Sukkot, because a sukkah is a booth, and Sukkot is booths. It is the plural. And just think about it. There was no room at the inn. And it was the time of the census, which was because everyone was coming to Jerusalem because they were coming up to the temple to offer their sacrifices to God. And that's why there was no room at the inn. So I personally believe that they went into a sukkah booth. And a sukkah booth, as we read, is the house for a person and for his livestock. So, and that's what we call a manger. But I believe it really was a sukkah, and that's why we have Sukkot. But Leviticus 23 is what actually speaks about the feast, and it's a harvest. It's the last feast of the year, of the civil year, and the reason why I say civil year, because the religious year begins in the month of Nisan, but the civil year begins on the first of Tishri, which is actually in the Hebrew calendar, is the first month of the civil year, but from the religious point of view, it would be the seventh month.
And, you know, this is kind of confusing to those of us who are Gentiles, but as I think about it, we have two New Year's. You know, we have New Year's on January 1st, of course, but we also have the beginning of the school year, or, you know, everybody talks about the beginning of the school year. So I guess in a somewhat similar way, you have these two New Year's in Judaism, or am I wrong?
No, you're correct, but I look at it as another way. I was born on August 29th. That was my civil year that I was born. But I was born again 31 years ago on October 13th. So I have a religious or a spiritual birthday, and I have a secular birthday or a birthday through the world's calendar. So there are actually two birthdays. There's a Hebrew birthday, and there is a world's birthday. There's a spiritual birthday, a time of being born again, born anew, and there's a time of being born. So I think it's really very simple with Israel. Israel has a spiritual birthday, the month of Nisan, and has a physical birthday, the month of Tishri.
Well, that's a very interesting way. And as you said, we could have a seminar led by you that would take a long time. But I want to mention one other thing that I learned, and I was mentioning it to you earlier. When I was in Israel, as the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, was coming to an end, there was this thing called Simchat Torah, and it was sort of at the end of Sukkot. So tell us how that relates to the eighth day and the ninth day and so forth, because I was down at the Western Wall. A friend of mine told me I should go down there and actually went with me, and there had to be 10,000 people down there, and they were dancing around holding the Torah. People were, of course, at the wall praying. In fact, you couldn't get very close to the wall because there were just so many people. I mean, you know, there was as many as like a huge sporting event or something. So tell me about that.
Well, first of all, it's such a joyous time. And it's interesting because the whole Sukkot holiday is like, as you said, a Thanksgiving. And Deuteronomy chapter 16, it speaks about the time of Sukkot that we are required to be joyful. It's almost like God is telling us, you are required to be happy and joyful and thankful for all I have done. And that's what Sukkot is. So think about it. So we have the Torah, and we dance, and we praise God, and we thankfully bring offerings to God, and it's just a most magnificent time. And even when we look at the prophetic meaning of the feast, Rosh Hashanah is a time of judgment, but it's a time of the blowing of the shofar. We believe the Messiah will return. And those who don't believe that the Messiah has come, they believe that the Messiah will come. And then for Yom Kippur, it's a time of redemption, of forgiveness. It's a time when we believe prophetically the Messiah will come into Israel, and they'll receive him as the Messiah, and they'll say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and Israel will have their salvation. And then 4 days later, after the end of Yom Kippur, 4 days later is Sukkot, when Mashiach, Messiah, Yeshua, will go to reign on the newly built temple. He'll sit and he'll reign for 1,000 years. How joyous is that when you know the prophetic part of it? And we live and eat our meals in the sukkah and rejoice with that. Then on the 8th day is that assembly. And in Israel, they celebrate on the 8th day also Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah. And it's another part of our Thanksgiving. We're thanking him and rejoicing. And on the 9th, it's the 9th day in America and in the nations other than Israel, when it is usually celebrated. But sometimes lots of congregations celebrate the Shemini Atzeret and the Simchat Torah at the same time. And it's such a wonderful time. We rewind the Torah. We read the last chapter of Deuteronomy, then rewind it back to Genesis 1 and begin again. It's the cycle of life, God's cycle. It goes round and round. And that's a time of rejoicing. And we march around our synagogue 7 times. The number 7 is completion. And it's just an awesome time to worship God, and more than anything, to know our Messiah Yeshua and rejoice in him, because he is the living word. He is the Torah that became flesh and dwelled among us.
You know, I could sit and listen to you for hours, and you're so knowledgeable about this, and you have studied it, of course, and as a rabbi, you teach it. And, you know, it's your depth of understanding of Judaism and Christianity and so forth that led us to invite you to publish a book with us, which just came out very, very recently, called The Talit, with a subtitle, Experience the Mysteries of the Prayer Shawl and Other Hidden Treasures. And I'd like to do another podcast with you about this book, because I believe it's a very powerful book that people are going to want to read and share with friends and so forth. So let me thank you for being on my podcast today, and to ask you, are you willing to come back and do another podcast with me about this exciting new book?
Yes, I absolutely am. And I would just like to say, Sid Roth had said, his endorsement of the book said, Rabbi Kluge unlocks the mysteries of the Talit, and the Talit has become his point of reaching into the supernatural. And Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, among others, has said, it's a unique book that will deepen your prayer life and intimacy with God. So I'm excited to have it out, and I pray they get it. It's out on Amazon.com, and it's really exciting. I do want to come back, and I also want to invite you, Steve, and anyone else who would like to come this Sunday night at Gesher Shalom at our synagogue and celebrate the Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah with us. Just the joy of worshiping God. It's at 7 o'clock this Sunday night.
Well, thank you for that. And of course, the podcast goes up live, but because it's on the internet, there'll be people months from now listening to this. But we're just excited about it's happening now. I wanted to record the podcast now because it's during Sukkot, also so I could write about it on my newsletter as well. So I thank you for being with me today, and I'm excited to have you back, not once, but many times, on the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network.
Well, that's so great. Thank you again, and may the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.